Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op deze vroege zondagmorgen. Het is een feestelijke zondag, althans voor Nederlanders, want vandaag is prins Willem-Alexander jarig. En vandaar ook een oranje bloemetje hier. En het is helemaal feestelijk deze week, want we hebben ook nog Koninginnedag op woensdag. Feestelijk is het ook in de Crystal Cathedral, want daar treedt John Tesh op. De bekende pianist-zanger die een nummer 1 hit gaat zingen. En dan dominee Schulle, die spreekt over iets heel bijzonders. Een klein zaadje, minuscuul klein, nauwelijks met je ogen te zien. Je stopt het in de grond en als je geloof hebt, dan komt er uiteindelijk een enorme boom uit of wat anders. En zo is het ook met geloof. Als je geloof hebt als een mosterdzaadje, dan kunnen er geweldige dingen gebeuren. Je kunt zelfs bergen verzetten, symbolisch dan. En daarover praat Hans Heesterbeek. Hij is een van onze vele enthousiaste Hour of Power kijkers die ook betrokken is bij ons werk. En daarover gaat hij met groot enthousiasme vertellen hoe hij zijn creativiteit inzet. Kortom, een bijzondere uitzending van Hour of Power. Fijn dat u en jij kijkt. Een hele fijne dienst toegewenst.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
Welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. It is a wonderful day to be able to feel the Holy Spirit of God in this place because He is going to speak to you today. He's going to touch you in a way that you may not have encountered before. You're going to be inspired. You're going to leave this place with thoughts and ideas and hope that you didn't know you needed. And so this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. So would you please turn to the people next to you and behind you and shake their hands and say, God loves you and so do I. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you brought us here today because you want to connect with us. So we feel your presence here, Lord. We felt it when we shook the hands of those who were next to us, behind us. We felt it with the stirring music. We feel it right now in the quietness. And so we know you are real, oh Lord. We know you're here. So we call upon you to touch our minds and our hearts and to fill us with your presence and your goodness. Today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
Thank you. There's no other professor or teacher that ever put together 8 principles that were deeper, more transforming than these sentences that are called the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ. Hear him speak this morning in this place through these words. Then Jesus opened his mouth, wow, and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before all people that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
fabulous opportunity to continue worship through the music of John Tesh. He's here with us today. He is a current host of the nationally syndicated radio program heard by millions. He is the former host of the television program Entertainment Tonight. John is deeply committed to his faith in Jesus Christ and his family. Would you please welcome with me John Tesh? John, you have quite a host of people with you today.
Yeah, everybody I knew.
So these are all your friends?
These are all my friends. We have we have musicians, obviously. We have hip-hop dancers, ballerinas, choir, just one from every food group, basically.
Yeah. Well, sounds great. We're looking forward to hearing from
you. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, singers. Thank you, dancers. Thank you, John Tesh.
Thank you, guys.
How great to have you back with us. Wow. Come on over. Say hello. Gently.
Well, this is the way we walk now. You ready?
I learned to do that.
You got to learn how to bump it, though.
Yeah, I know. What inspired you to add dance to your gig?
Ooh, just to hear you say gig is, like, really cool.
Well, you know.
It was my daughter, really. I have a 13-year-old daughter. Her name is Prima. And, as a dad, what you do is you drive your kid to whatever they want to do, you know. And So, well, if, as long as it's appropriate. So my job is to drive her to ballet and to hip-hop and then to just get out of the way. You know, you don't want to be involved because you don't want to hear, "Oh, Dad." So I drove her to this every day to dance after school. And suddenly I would hang out and watch these kids between the ages of, 7 and 21 just with so much joy and purpose. And, these days, I think it's 1 out of 7 kids in North America are suffering from obesity because they're hanging out at the mall. They're, they're playing PlayStation, playing video games every single day. And so when you see kids and adults who are teaching dance, you see this joy come off of them. We really want to support that. So I said, you know what? Let's take what's in this little dance class of 30 kids. Let's turn it into a public television special. Let's surround it with gospel music and the gospel message. And let's just project joy using dance. And I know that you've always been a big proponent of dance. So it's our honor to perform it here with you.
More than anybody else connected with the ministry, I have been pleading for incorporating dance into our morning worship. It generates energy,
yeah,
enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's an expression of using the body to praise God, and it's biblical. That's the way they worshiped in the days of the Psalms, in the synagogues.
Yes. And especially a song like that, where it's, yes, what we really want in life is to find our purpose, to find our personal ministry. And that lyric, take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. It's really what God wants for us, is for us to lose the shackles and to move forward in our lives.
Tell us about your radio show.
Well, it's called Intelligence for Your Life. It bears my name. It was created as encouragement. I spent so many years, you and I have known each other for so many years. I spent many years of my life doing Entertainment Tonight, which is a great gig. But it was mostly, we're going to use that a couple more times, just so you know. My ministry, it's not much of a ministry reading the celebrity birthdays, So I thought, what else could we do? Love radio. I know you're a big fan of radio, too. So I thought, let's find all the information that people need to be encouraged. St. Irenaeus once said, the joy of God is man fully alive. And it's really what we want for our audience. I know it's what you want for your viewing audience, is to find the deepest desire of your heart. Find that thing that makes you come alive, and then go act on it and ask God to bless it. So that's really what the radio show is about, Intelligence for Your Life, all the information you need to be encouraged.
Wow. And I have a new book, Powerful Lessons for Personal Growth. Give me one.
Find the deepest desire of your heart. What is it that makes you come alive? And go act on that. Ask God to bless it. Ask five important people in your life, family members, coworkers, people who have known you since you were in high school. What is it they see you doing? What do they see that makes you come alive, and make your decisions on what your ministry is, your personal passion is going to be on that.
I like that advice very much. That's really wise. I never noticed till now that you have blue eyes, and I have brown eyes. So blue eyes and brown eyes get together pretty
That's
great.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Now we got cool and gig in the sentence
and
here.
It's hip,
so
and it's hip.
It's hip.
Sure.
Yeah, because we are the beat generation, you and I.
We are?
Yes.
Well, thank you for telling me. Well, anyway, you can buy this book at the bookstore. Are you autographing or are you rushing?
I would love to.
Autograph after the service. Get a really famous celebrity's autograph in a powerful book.
Or you could get mine. Either way. We'll both be there.
Both be there?
Well, a famous celebrity. I'll go get one and then I'll come and the two of us will sign it. Thank you.
Well, anyway, and you have this. It's out.
Alive is out on DVD, DVD and CD. It just come out.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
John,
thank you for letting us dance for you.
Oh,
appreciate
thank you.
It.
Come back soon.
We'd love to. Thank you.
Okay, you'd love to.
Dr. Schuller.
Well, thank you.
Muziek van John Tesh. En ooit was het een nummer 1 hit gezongen door de groep Mary Mary Shackles. Het gaat over het feit dat je heel lang in je leven kunt zoeken en dan patsboom het kunt vinden. En de man die hier vanmorgen zit, nou, daar is dat lied van toepassing. Het is Hans Heesterbeek. Hans, goedemorgen. Je bent een creatieveling. Je ontwerpt, je bedenkt. Je bent met van alles bezig. Daar gaan we het zo meteen over hebben. Maar ik ga even terug, want zoals zoveel ben jij op een hele merkwaardige manier naar Hour of Power gaan kijken.
Ja, dat kun je wel zeggen. Eigenlijk wilde ik eerst niet kijken. De eerste uitzendingen ben ik gaan kijken omdat mijn vriendin met grote regelmaat naar keek. En
ik zei kwam... tegen haar, ben je gek geworden?
Nou, ik dacht wel van, wat is dit zeg, zoveel pracht en praal en een Porsche eromheen. Dus ik ging met een beetje hakken in het zand ernaar kijken. Totdat op een gegeven moment daar een dame een heel prachtig verhaal ging houden, een overlevende van een concentratiekamp in de Tweede Wereldoorlog. En dat sprak me zo aan, dat brak me ook echt. De tranen rolden over mijn ogen. Ik dacht van, nou, hier gebeurt wel wat meer. Dus toen ben ik toch met grote regelmaat blijven kijken. En dat is nu alweer een hele tijd geleden, ja.
We hebben het over Edith Eger, ja. Een jong Joods meisje wat voor dokter Mengele moest dansen.
Ja, klopt.
Bijzondere vrouw.
Ja, het is een prachtig verhaal hoe ze dat overleefd heeft.
En vergeven kon.
En vergeven kon, absoluut.
Je bent toevallig naar Hour of Power gaan kijken. Je had niet zoveel met geloof. Maar wat gebeurt er dan met je als je zit te kijken? Als je altijd zegt van, nou, ik geloof er niks van.
En nu geloof er niks van. In ieder geval zoekende, en laat ik het zo zeggen. En het heeft heel mijn leven toch wel op zijn kop gezet. En ik ben, zoals mensen mij nog even zeggen, jong christen geworden op mijn leeftijd. Dat vind ik toch wel heel bijzonder. En ben daardoor ook veel meer daarmee naar gaan kijken en gaan luisteren naar de uitzendingen. En daardoor ook veel meer met God in contact gekomen. En daar ook een heel ander leven door gaan leiden. Op een andere manier gaan leven in ieder geval.
Dan vraag je natuurlijk hoe anders.
Ja. Nou, in mijn wereld is het natuurlijk een beetje raar wereldje. Ik organiseer feesten, partijen, maak films. Daar hoef ik jou helemaal niks over uit te leggen. Dat ken je ook allemaal wel. En daar ga je toch wel soms rare dingen ontmoeten en rare mensen ontmoeten. In die zin dat mensen daar toch bepaalde opvattingen op nahouden. En ik ben daar toch wel anders in gaan staan en anders naar gaan kijken. En dat vind ik zelf wel veel prettiger en bijzonder. Ja.
Hans, jongeren houden jou bezig. Onder andere werk je mee aan Power Praise. Dat is een heel evenement voor jongeren in de regio Hilversum.
Het is een heel team van jonge mensen die dat organiseren. Dat vind ik heel het leuke eraan, maar het is ook voor jonge mensen. Ja. En ik help ze daarbij. Ik sponsor dat voor een deel en ik adviseer ze hoe ze dat aan zouden kunnen pakken. We hebben nu toch al 5, 6 keer een theater vol gehad met 800 mensen en een grote sporthal vol gehad. En we willen dat toch graag een beetje uit gaan bouwen, ja. Het woord bekendmaken bij de jongeren, dat is toch wel waar we mee bezig zijn, ja. Ja.
Wat is het woord voor jou?
Het woord voor mij is de liefde van God. Mensen de kennis laten maken met God. En wat Hij met je kan doen, wat Hij überhaupt met je doet. En dat je daar dan bewust van wordt. Wat je daar allemaal zelf weer mee kan doen en anderen weer mee kan helpen.
We hadden vorig jaar de reis met dominee Schuller door Israël, prachtige land. En er was één moment dat mensen die dat wilden gedoopt konden worden in de Jordaan, waar Jezus ook gedoopt werd. Mijn mooiste moment van die reis was toen jij en je vrouw gedoopt waren en daar op een muurtje samen zaten. Ik heb naar jullie staan kijken. Ik vond dat zo'n prachtig, ontroerend moment. Kun je er zelf ook wat over vertellen? Ik heb het eigenlijk al verteld, maar...
Ja, nou, wat... Het bijzondere was is dat ik eigenlijk pas besloten heb me te laten dopen de dag ervoor in de bus. Toen we verteld kregen dat we daar naartoe gingen en hoe het zou gaan werken. En ik dacht van kopje onder en dat is het. Nou is het dan een hele bijzondere sfeer als je daar bent en je staat in je wit gewaad om gedoopt te worden. En dan ga je kopje onder en op dat moment is er allemaal nog niets aan de hand. Totdat je eruit komt, althans zo werkt het bij mij. En dan werd ik heel erg geraakt en bewogen en... Op dat moment dat jij toen ons daar ook zag zitten, was ik erg ontroerd. En was dat echt aan het verwerken. En daarna gingen we lopen, want ik ben gedoopt door Robbie. Toen gingen we kijken naar dominee Schuller, die ergens anders stond. En ik heb ook weer echt moeten leren lopen, bij wijze van spreken. Want ik kon even echt niet meer op mijn benen staan. En dat had niets te maken met een glaasje wijn of zo. Maar gewoon door de ontroering, slappe knieën. En ik gleed van een muurtje af. En zo heel langzaam maar zeker kwam ik weer bij de mensen. Dus dat... heeft echt heel veel met me gedaan. Echt heel veel.
Je passie voor Hour of Power is groot. Je bent een van die vele vrijwilligers die zich met hun talenten inzetten. We hebben er veel gelukkig. Jij bent heel creatief. Waar ben je op dit moment mee bezig?
Wat we nu mee bezig zijn is eigenlijk ook weer gerelateerd aan de jeugd. We willen graag een website op gaan zetten. Waarbij we heel graag met Robbie Schuller...
Dat is de kleinzoon, hè?
De kleinzoon, ja. Met Robbie Schuller, dat hij delen van zijn dienst, hij heeft een dienst in de Crystal Cathedral, delen daarvan terug gaan zien op de website. En dat hij ook nog stand-alone boodschappen gaat brengen. Dat houdt in dat hij op camera een heel klein stukje gaat vertellen wat hij vindt of een mening verkondigt of een mooie spreuk neerzet. Wat we dan eigenlijk willen gaan doen is dat we de jeugd uit willen nodigen om die spreuk te gaan visualiseren en weer terug te plaatsen op die website. Nou, dat is een wild idee. Wat er van uit gaat komen, Dat zullen we allemaal zien.
Hallo zeg, je maar bent dus, possibility thinking. Ik verwacht zonder meer dat dit gaat geworden.
Ja, maar misschien wordt het nog wel groter, Jan. Ja.
Niets is onmogelijk.
Niets is onmogelijk.
Je zei net, ik ben jong christen, lang zoekende geweest. Nou, ik denk dat de halve wereld op zoek is naar de grote levensvragen en de antwoorden erop. Wat zou jij tegen zoekende mensen willen zeggen?
Mensen die op zoek zijn.
Zijn er veel, hè?
Ja, er zijn er veel. Ja. Dat is een lastige om dat te zeggen waar ze nou naartoe moeten gaan. Want ik denk dat je gevonden wordt. En ik denk ook dat je zeker moet blijven zoeken. En dan denk ik dat je gevonden wordt. En dan komt het goed.
Dat is samen met God lopen.
Dat is samen met God lopen.
Hans, ik vond het heel fijn dat je hier was. Indrukwekkend wat je doet. En daarvoor ook heel hartelijk dank. Wij gaan terug naar de Christelijke Cathedral, waar het koor een lied gaat zingen wat volkomen van toepassing is wat je net vertelde. Om met God te wandelen.
Jan,
broeder, bedankt ook voor die mooie beelden die we hebben gezien tijdens dit gesprek.
Okay.
En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar het koor van de Crystal Cathedral, een fantastisch koor, gaat zingen. Walk with God.
Thank you.
It's amazing how life has its twists and its turns. How suddenly feel like we're down to nothing and there's absolutely nowhere to go, and something comes along and turns the lights on. Life is renewed. I want to read a scripture passage today, some parable actually, some teachings from Jesus Christ. It's a parable I think many of you may be familiar with. It's called the parable of the sower, and Jesus is telling this parable, a story. And here's what he says. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. And it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means, said Jesus. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no roots, he lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. I've read this parable and this interpretation of the parable many times. And what I want to give you today is a thought, something to think about. Because what I believe is that every single one of us, or every single man in this parable, that the kingdom of God comes to us into our hearts, into our minds, into our thoughts, into our reality, into our life. And at times it's like the seed that is thrown on the rocky path. It just doesn't take any root. And sometimes it's like the soil where it has shallow roots, but it's quickly choked out. But sometimes it sinks deep and it produces a harvest. And I believe this is a description of our minds, of how our minds work from day to day, because we are not on a steady plateau of constantly being productive people. And so today I want to help you discover a way to be able to take the seeds that are planted within our minds and our hearts and our souls by God Himself and create the soil that will produce a healthy harvest that will be tremendous. And people will see the reward of it. So first of all, I want us to feed our minds with the positive reality of the kingdom of God. In order for our minds to be healthy soil, we need to go out and plow the soil. I don't know how many of you have ever spent any time on a farm, but I actually spent many of my summers on my uncle's farm. My father's brother was named Henry. It was his older brother. And my parents would often travel during the summer, and they sent me to his farm to help him out because I was a young teen and could help on the farm. It was like an old McDonald's farm. Let me see, you had chickens, pigs, cows, geese, ducks, a horse. Let's see what else you have. It was wonderful. And it was really a kick, I'll tell you. And what's important for us to realize is that there is seed. When it's planted in good soil, it will grow and it will produce incredible yield. thoughts. And as we prepare our minds for the instructions that God has for us, for the direction, for the leadership, for the realization of His love for us, we too will produce some of the greatest harvests that our minds and our thoughts could ever perceive. There's an old tale, an Indian tale, American Indian tale, that talks about the struggle within. The tale goes that there is a good dog who wants to do good. And there is a bad dog on our other side who wants to do bad. And sometimes the good dog within our lives seems to be winning the battle. And sometimes the bad dog in our lives seems to be winning the battle. And with that, the chief, as he tells the story, will pause and wait for one of the braves to finally raise his hand and say, who wins the battle? With which he gives the answer: the one you feed. And when you take care of the good dog, when you care for the soil of your mind and your heart and your body and the opportunities that God gives to you, those things will reproduce and multiply as we cultivate and care for the good things that God continues to give to us every single moment of every single day. But you have to tend the fields. When I was living on my uncle's farm, it was more than once that we'd walk the bean fields. Anyone here know what I'm talking about, walking bean fields? Some of you know what walking bean fields is. Oh, yeah. You go out there and have a machete in hand. I don't know if they call it a machete, but that's what we call it here in Southern California. We call them machetes. And you walk through, and all you do is whack the weeds at the bottom, and you get rid of the weeds. And then you look out over the rows, and you can see, okay, there's the rows I've completed, because there's no weeds sticking above the beans. And there's the rows that still need to be done, because you can see the weeds sticking up above the rows. And you walk the bean fields. And it's so much fun. Oh, I'll tell you, it's just a kick walking bean fields. But it makes a difference. You get a bigger harvest. And what weeds do we have that come and try to choke out the bounty that God has within us? It's the negative thinking that constantly wants to come along and tell us you can't do that. You're not strong enough, you're not thin enough, you're not good enough, you're not rich enough, you're not wise enough, you're not connected enough, whatever it is. And these negative thoughts continue to sprout in our minds. And the sad thing about these negative, weedy thoughts is that weeds grow really fast. Have you ever noticed that? Weeds just sprang up immediately, and they're up there, and you go, holy mackerel, I just walked that bean field yesterday. They're not that fast, but I mean, they're fast. But have you also noticed that they don't last very long? They die quickly. On the other hand, The oak tree takes a long time to grow. And its wood is strong and it's hard. And it lasts for centuries. And its roots are deep and it's strong. And as we continue to feed the positive thoughts that God gives to us, that I have everything I need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as we continue to feed our positive thoughts with the wonderful words of the kingdom of God, the oak within will
continue to grow. And the beauty of God's kingdom will be revealed. But the challenge is for us to realize that one of the things we need to do is to turn those negative thoughts around into the positive reality, into what they are. Because every single strength, you probably know what the rest of the sentence is. Your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness, right? Well, let's take it the other way around. If that's the case, your greatest weakness is also your greatest strength. And so if you look at where you are weak, you can know from that position you have incredible opportunities. It's like the young man who didn't have a left arm. And this young man wanted to do something athletic, so he decided he was going to learn judo. And he went to a judo studio, and he met the sensei, and he started training, and his instructor said, I want you to learn this move. And he taught him this move. And every single day he came into the studio, he had him practicing this one judo move, period. That's all he would practice. He did that week after week. Finally, after several months of coming in every day, practicing this one judo move, he said to his sensei, Sensei, why do I only get to practice one move? Why do you have me practice this one move over and over again? How can I ever learn judo and be good in judo if I only know this one move? And he says, you need only one move. You can do anything with this one move. And so he continued to submit to his teacher. And the next month, he took him to a tournament. And in his tournament, he fought for a while, and he did quite well, and he actually pinned the guy, won his first match. Second one's a little more difficult, but as it went along, he finally did his one move again, and he pinned his next opponent. Finally, in the finals, it's a very tough competition, and he finally has this opportunity to use his one move. And he pins them, and he wins the tournament. On the way home, he's kind of flabbergasted at his success, and he talks to his instructor. He says, how is it that I was able to win this tournament with only one move? And he says, two reasons. The move I teach you is the hardest move to learn in judo. Number two reason, the only counter to that move is to grab the left arm. Two reasons. Your greatest weakness is an opportunity for God to come in and give you the greatest strength you've ever could imagine. And so as we continue to allow the kingdom of God's seed to be planted within our minds, realize that some of the beauty and the goodness of God and his ideas may fall along the path and just dwindle. And others will fall in shallow soil and they'll grow, but they'll just fade away. And so others will be strangled out. There will be good seed that is planted in fertile soil, and it will succeed if you trust and obey. Trust the Master. He tells us what to do. He tells us to love one another. He tells us to pray together. He tells us to embrace one another with love. The Bible tells us that whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And then the greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So the biblical perception of greatness is to be able to serve, to be able to give something back, to be able to do something for others, to be able to express love. Our greatness is found fulfilling the command of Jesus Christ to love one another. And how do you love one another? You care for the very least of these. You become a servant. And as you serve others, you find your greatness. And the seeds that are sown within your mind will take root. And it will grow. Last night, my parents hosted a party for my daughter. Isn't that nice? It was an engagement party. My daughter is engaged to be married. She met her fiancé in a blind date that was set up by my wife and I. When we met him, this is the truth. We met him here inside the cathedral. He was a guest. His name is Chris Wyatt. He's the founder of GodTube. He came to, and we interviewed him talking about GodTube. And my wife, being the inquisitive one she is, says, "Where are you from?" He says, "I'm from Dallas." "Oh, my daughter's from Dallas. Are you married?" She noticed he didn't have a ring on his finger. And he said, "No, I'm not." She said, "Well, you should get together with her. You know, you're both from California roots. You'd have somebody to talk to there." And what we didn't know was that he had been praying the same prayer my daughter had been praying. And it was only a month or so earlier that my daughter said, "You know, I need you to start praying that the right man for me comes into my life." And she asked us to pray. What I didn't know, she also asked my father to pray. So she had everybody praying for that. The same time, Chris said the same prayer about the same time she did. And when my daughter walked into the restaurant where they was going to have a 45-minute dinner, he saw and he heard God tell him, "This is the woman you're to marry." And my daughter heard the same thing. "This is the man you are to marry." And when I shook Chris's hand for the very first time here in the cathedral, before he even met my daughter, I heard God tell me, "You are shaking the hand of your future son-in-law." So last night they stood up and they said, "We have an arranged marriage." We found out that we're supposed to marry each other. Now we have to get to know each other and find out if we like each other or not. And that's what they've been doing. It's called trust and obey. You trust that God's answering your prayers at all times and all ways, that the seed that is being planted will find root, that a harvest will be produced, that God will continue to bless you day in and day out. And then you obey. You trust and obey. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the sower who continues to sow your seed. You're planting seeds of greatness. So allow those seeds to germinate within our minds this morning. And as those seeds erupt forth in life, may we have the faith, the trust to obey, to walk where you have us to walk, and to love others always. We love you, Lord. Amen. With that, let me give you a closing benediction. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit allow his seeds to penetrate your mind and send their roots deep, that you might harvest the love of Jesus Christ all you meet, today and forever. Amen.
Ik vond het een inspirerende uitzending. En zeker voor mensen die denken, ik ben zo klein, ik ben zo gewoon, ik kan eigenlijk niks. Denk aan dat zaadje. Als je een zaadje plant, kan er een boom uitgroeien. En ik wens iedereen een heel fijne week toe. Het wordt natuurlijk een bijzondere week met veel vrije dagen. Dus ik zou zeggen, geniet ervan met het prachtige april, voorjaarsweer. Heel hartelijk dank voor het kijken. We hebben een paar vragen gehad nog van mensen. Zeiden, wanneer zendt de NCV het ook weer uit? Ga ik nog één keer zeggen. Op het themakanaal Geloven. Zometeen om 11 uur en dan elke nacht van 2 tot 3 uur. En wij hopen er volgende week weer te zijn om 8 uur. Bedankt voor het kijken en graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.